Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, hello again. I'm Buck Benny. I'm joined by Kathy Fuller Seeley, our relative Jack Benny specialist. And we have John Henderson, our other relative Jack Benny specialist. And we have Vincent Longo, our Orson Welles man. And we have Terry Phillips, who is our jack of all trades, really. And he is our historian and our connection to broadcasting in general, and just all around great guy. And did anybody have, before we get started, anybody have any updates on any new releases they have, anything coming up Terry, I don't know where you're at. I think you just dropped the episode last week or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was about 10 days ago, and we're in the process of preparing the last episode. Sings a little bit of the jingle, How Are You Fixed for Blades, which was the jingle for Gillette Blue Blades. Mm-hmm. And in the commercial that was airing in those years, in the 1950s, there was a parrot in the commercial, Sharpie the Parrot, who sang that. So I thought that was kind of an interesting tie. I doubt that there was, you know, a financial relationship. I think it was just something the writers found funny, but I thought that was worth noting. I loved Don Wilson's portrayal of the Justice of the Peace at the wedding, incorporating the commercial.
Yes.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And I listened to a little bit of an interview with Jack Benny in which he talked about how from the very beginning of his years on radio, he supported the idea of incorporating commercials and making the commercials funny. And obviously he continued that throughout his radio career. I want to end on a critical note because that's my job. I don't know what the rest of you thought, but I could not get over how horrible the hair and makeup on Jack was at the beginning of this episode. It was so amateurish. His eyebrows were like super dark, you know, grease paint. And the hair was, you know, maybe he wanted the hair to look like a toupee, which it did. But I don't know why they did this. It just, I couldn't get over how, you know, they should have fired the makeup artist unless that's what they were going for. But it was just weird.
Frank Nelson carried over from the Gracie
right.
Allen episode.
So Terry, I thought it was on purpose though. I thought because he was like trying to make himself up, you know, be ready for this proposal.
Yeah, maybe.
So I thought he overdid it. That's how I read it.
Yeah. That could be. Terrible. But it really caught my attention and not in a positive way.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I noticed he looked very different. The other side of it, I mean, I thought Mary, she looked different too, especially in the throwback piece, but
yeah, they did her hair very strangely.
They did a normal person to do the hair and makeup or something, or they, I don't know, that it just seemed different. And being as I've seen earlier shows and later shows that seem to have their acts together as far as the hair and makeup goes, and then this one just seemed a little off, but I don't know. It could have been because it was one of the earliest film shows, and maybe they were trying to go, oh, for the film shows, we got to really make people look good. We got to make Jack look like he's got a lot of hair or something. I don't know what was going on there, but like I say, it went overboard. So, yeah, interesting. But, interesting episode overall. I loved that scene. I'm glad you brought up the scene with Don Wilson marrying them. It was fun to see them get married. It was fun to see Don Wilson do it. And then I was like, okay, they're going to touch on this joke with him doing the commercial during the marriage ceremony. But they really went all in, and it just kept going and going and going. I was like, oh, wow, this is great. And so that was very enjoyable. The whole episode, certainly worthwhile watching if you're a Jack Benny fan at all. And
as much as we like to nitpick some of the little details, it is great to be able to see Jack Benny and Mary, and that they're actually playing his wife and daughter, and like, how do you fit that into something we've already established that they're not married. I thought this was an ingenious way to do it. And yep. It was great to see Joan Benny. And I don't know if we've mentioned the book that Joan Benny wrote, basically taking Jack Benny's memoirs that were never published and telling her own memories. It's Sunday Nights at 7, and it's a great book.
Yes, agreed.
So Bear Manor Media would really, really wants to reprint it. And I'm looking for material that would make it a true Senate edition or a revised, updated mm-hmm. thing. So yeah. There is a chance that there might be the original Jack Benny's part of the manuscript that might have some stuff that a New York editor in 1990 might have cut out. So,
yeah. Nice. So we can't wait until that gets released and we get a chance to get that. Also, you're going to be adding an index to it, I think,
yes.
What you said. So that'll be nice because it's not indexed very well or whatever. And so it'd be
not,
nice.
Not to have, at all.
Not at all. Okay. Yeah, because it's I want to be able to find things in there. And most of his other books about Jack are indexed, but that one's not. I will say it. I think it, by everyone's account, probably it is the best book written about Jack Benny. If you're going to get one book about Jack, that's the one to get, because in his own words, it's so interesting to read those parts. And then Joan's reflections are great. And just to highlight Joan just a smidgen more, of anybody that I can think of that is a child of a famous person, she's done about the most solid job that I can think of every time I've ever seen her on anything. She is always talking about how wonderful Jack was, how her mother and Jack and the whole thing. And she's just really done a great job to kind of try and preserve and introduce folks to Jack and who he was and what he was about, both in his personal life, but also through his work in film and television and radio. And she was just, I couldn't see him be more proud of the way she, throughout her whole life, was so supportive of her family and everything. That was great.
Just the way Joan Crawford's daughter honored her mother.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Maybe not exactly.
Yeah. Or Betty Davis's daughter.
Or Betty Davis.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there was pressure on her to do like a tell-all sort of sensational thing or something. I don't think there was much to tell, so you really, unless she was making it up. But yeah. But I just think that was delightful to see and hear, and something like you guys are just mentioning, other folks, you just don't get to see that often, and so few of the huge successful performers that have these giant egos were all that great to their kids and so forth. I mean she talks about Jack and the time he spent with her and the drives they went on, and if you listen to any of her interviews, they're very delightful to listen to. There's a number of them on YouTube that you can watch and listen to, and she does a fantastic job. Now that I think about it, I don't think I've even aired any of these, but I've got a ton of them that she's done in radio different times in her life. Especially when she was releasing the Sunday Night at 7, she appeared on a lot of local like radio shows to plug the book. And so there's probably 17, 15 different interviews that I have or something like that with her.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
You should definitely compile those. Those would be fascinating to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll see what I can do with that.
And for our audience, just as recently as this February, she made a quick guest appearance on the Jack Benny Hullabaloo convention that is available. If you link to the Jack Benny fan club page, all the interviews, all the presentations, including ours, have been posted, and it's available for free, and it's a marvelous I think it's like at forever39.com, but you can definitely find it if you go to the Jack Benny fan club webpage. And for our multitudinous fans, it's a great thing. The interview with, because all Joan's four children are there and they speak for about 90 minutes, they have wonderful stories to tell too about adventures with their mother as well as adventures with their grandpa.
So. Wow, that's great. And then just a since you mentioned it, a quick plug for the Jack Benny International Fan Club Facebook page. It is really well done. There are so many wonderful people there sharing all sorts of things, and you see pictures that you've never seen before, and they connect to different YouTube videos and they share their insights. It's a really great place to go if you want to go and talk to other people about Jack Benny and things. Wonderful. And Kathy's over there all the time posting things. She just posted, I think this week, a letter that it was where, what's the name of the lady who shared her scrapbook with you and everything, Kathy?
Oh, Barbara Thanell, an amazing woman who's 92, not to tell any secrets, who started she fell in love with Jack Benny when she was 13, and she started making a scrapbook about his career, and she's an amazing archivist. I have now digitized more than 3,000 pages.
Wow.
So she just kept making these scrapbooks throughout her life. After she spent a couple of years at college, she even took herself out as a young woman all the way to Southern California by herself and ended up getting a job at CBS Radio so that she could at least see Jack in the hallways.
Wow.
It's been a real pleasure and honor to be digitizing these scrapbooks so that then we'll all get to see them she just had an incredible ability to find things. So,
well, it's so cool that when you post something, you'll sometimes ask her a question or say something, and then she'll respond to it. And so you get to see her response because she's still around and everything. That's fantastic.
She's so, it's nice to make someone happy. And she donated her lifetime collection of scrapbooks. She donated them to Laura Leibowitz, president of the Benny Fan Club, some number of years ago. And when I got the chance to visit Laura at her house, and she was showing me all her amazing stuff in that jam-packed house. And we were in the basement, and I see this pile of scrapbooks. And I go, Laura, what's that? And she goes, oh, scrapbooks. A longtime fan gave them to me. And I said, can I look at them? And she goes, oh, yeah, I never have. And we pull them out, and the first thing I see is a heavily taped over piece of rock. And it came from the driveway at Jack Benny's house in Beverly Hills from one time that Barbara and a friend, and I said, oh, I gotta see what else she's got. So Barbara has let me, I've been getting them and scanning them, and now Laura is preserving them. They'll probably go to someplace like the University of Wyoming's Jack Benny Papers collection, but it makes Barbara Thanell so happy, my 92-year-old friend, and we talk on the phone all the time. She's my great girlfriend now. But because she says, oh, my babies, I can see my collection again, because I've given her a link to the, you know, because imagine she was willing to give them up and she hadn't seen them in something like 10 years.
Wow.
I love them. Now, they're my favorite part, checking in every week. That's great.
Yes, I agree.
So, and this, parade for Benny fans. So.
And the one you just posted that I was saying is so cool because it's just a few paragraphs long, but she essentially summarizes Jack Benny's career. And I'm thinking, boy, I haven't heard anybody with that much insight cover that much ground in that quick of a time frame. I was really impressed because she quoted his very first appearance on Ed Sullivan. How many people know what he said on there? I mean, some of us do, but a lot of people don't, and yet, and to think that she knew that back at that time without the internet, without all the things we have, research these kind of things. And then she was talking about the dates, and unlike Jack and his team, she got her dates right, which was great. And the ages right. She nailed their ages too. At that point, she even mentions Joan in there. Joan is 13 years old at the time when she's writing this, and that Jack was 54 at the time. So,
thank you all. And the folks out there, as I said, hopefully pretty soon. Now we're going to make all those scrapbook pages available for everybody to search and have fun with.
That's fantastic. That'll be exciting. All right. Well, anyway, I hope y'all enjoy this episode and remember Joan and what a wonderful person she was. And you get a chance to see her acting a little bit here, and it's delightful. So without further ado, here is the episode. Thanks, everybody.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
He counts his money and he keeps one eye open. I can go to sleep too. Dear diary, today I am especially proud of myself, and why shouldn't I be? When I finished all of my normal household chores a minute and 20 seconds ahead of schedule, Mr. Benny congratulated me for cleaning the house so fast. He said I was the only man to break the sound barrier with a vacuum cleaner. Finished cleaning the house, I assorted the fan mail, and again, I got more than he did. Before Mr. Benny went to bed, he asked me if I had any ideas he could use for his next television show. And I told him he couldn't miss if he'd just do the things that happened to him in real life. Like today, for instance. The morning started out normally enough, but anything is liable to happen in the house of Jack Benny.
Amazing the things they have nowadays. Shaving cream with Dioxin in it. Shaving cream with lanolin in it. Shaving cream with chlorophyll in it. Had to chase all over town to find shaving cream with soap in it. There, I'm all shaved. Nothing like a nice, smooth... I forgot to put a blade in it. Always watching the fights. What'd you get at the market, Rochester?
Food for the week. Butter, bread, meat, and the usual supply of canned goods. But I think next week I'm going to have to shop at a different market.
Why? What's wrong with our regular market?
Well, you know how they always charge less for cans that are bent?
Yeah?
Well, this morning they caught me bending them.
Rochester, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, bending cans so you can get them cheaper. I'm glad you were caught.
They wouldn't have caught me if I hadn't asked for a mop.
What'd you need with a mop?
I tried to bend a bottle of milk.
Now, stop making things up. I'll answer that. Put the groceries away.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello, Jack.
This is Mary.
Well, I don't know. You'll have to talk to my agent.
Your agent? Joni, I'm your father.
I know, but Mother told me to get an agent.
Goodbye, Good night, folks. See you in 3 weeks.
Pepper and Ann Wilmer. Remember, 1 week from tonight on this same station, Ann Southern returns in Private Secretary. And don't forget, in 3 weeks, the Jack Benny Show will originate in New York City. And Jack will have as his guest star, Miss Helen Hayes. The Jack Benny program has been brought to you by Lucky Strike, product of the American Tobacco Company, America's leading manufacturer of cigarettes. This is Don Wilson saying, be happy, go lucky.
This is the CBS Television Network.